Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this, the final episode for now of Ozempic Diaries. I'm Jonathan Varnker.
And I'm Charlene Armstrong.
We are here today to wrap up this series. We've done one very large season. We've covered 6 months of content, 6 months of our transformational journeys with Ozempic. It's been about a month since we last spoke. And in this episode, we're getting together to catch up on what's happened in that last month, but then also to talk about what we've learned and finally give some advice for those who have just found this podcast, who are maybe binge listening to all the content, and give some kind of final advice for those who would like it. Use it, don't use it, all up to you. But firstly, it's been a month. Charlene, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I have struggled being off Ozempic. I can't lie. I've had to really face some very hard truths because when I started this Ozempic journey, I was like, my hormones are whack. Everything's messed up. Once I have my hormones stabilized and the Ozempic can help me lose the weight, and if I just stick to my good habits and when my hormones are stabilized, then I should be okay. My hormones are stable because not that I've tested them, but I can feel in my body that the ailments that I had before are no longer present. And I am on a daily tablet that helps with estrogen regulation. And I am on testosterone, nothing for progesterone.
Because you had like 3,000% estrogen or something like that.
Yeah, I was estrogen dominant. So I can definitely feel that those things are stable or stabilized. I'm due to test bloods again this month. However, I was off of Ozempic for a full month, just a little bit over a month, and the food noise and constant habitual wanting to just stuff my face, it came back with a vengeance. Like, hectic. And I don't know if it was, and it was gradual. Okay. So in the first week off of Ozempic, I was fine. Second week, I was fine. Third week, I could feel a little bit more. But by the time I was a full month off, like going on 5 weeks, I was like, I need to eat. And then I think also it was around about the time that I was due to have my period again. So the cravings are generally high. And so I wasn't used to being on my period and having such heavy cravings. So the cravings came back with full force. And then I had surgery. So I don't know if my body was just like needing to eat to heal itself, or if that's just an excuse that I made up because, you know, eat whatever you want because your body's healing itself. I can't distinguish, Jono. I've realized I cannot distinguish, and I don't know if it is a mental problem that I have with food, that my issue is not actually only just hormonal, but I have a serious psychological problem with food, and I need to maybe seek therapy if I want to permanently sort it out. So that's how I've been. And I have one pen on my prescription left, that because the prescription expired after 6 months. So I had filled the pen but not used it because I couldn't take Ozempic pre-surgery. So I kept it as like a
bit of insurance policy.
Kind of an insurance policy, and kind of also then I don't have to go back to my doctor and be like, okay, I've lost all the weight, but please, I need this pen to survive.
Yeah, because so, we worry that you're like a crackhead at that point, you know?
Exactly. And I'm too embarrassed
I'm perfectly normal, not overweight like I used to be. Can I have some more Ozempic? Seems worried. Yes, it's like strange.
It's worrying. And my hormones, and I don't actually genuinely have the excuse of my hormones being completely stuffed anymore. So that's where I am. So I've got this pen, and I'm genuinely, I'm going to go back on it and give myself a month, and I'll go on the minimum dose. And this is my plan. And I think I'll have to go for hypnotherapy or something. I think the problem also is that I'm not in the gym at the moment. So what's bothering me is that, fine, if I eat a little bit more, it's okay because I'm still really active, you know? Because I don't know what maintenance looks like for me, because you can eat more calories when you're at your goal weight To maintain that weight, you don't have to be on like 1,200 calories a day because you're not trying to lose weight. You can eat around 1,600 or 1,800 calories a day if you are not, you know, sedentary, if you're not too sitting all day on the couch. But this is my worry now. At the moment, I am not cleared for workouts yet. And my husband said to me, it's so interesting to me because you're moody, you're grumpy. And I was like, he's like, what's going on with you? Are you in pain after your surgery? What's the story? And I was like, I'm struggling. I'm constantly having this internal conversation with myself. No, Charlene, don't put that in your mouth. No, Charlene, you don't need chocolate. No, Charlene, don't go to the fridge. You're not hungry. No, Charlene. It's torture.
Yeah. Yeah. Hectic.
So that's where I'm at.
That's where you are. Okay. So so you're like, I'm good with some qualifications.
I have great new boobs, by the way, but eating is completely fucked.
How much do your new boobs weigh?
Not that much, actually. I will say this. I haven't weighed. I weighed the day I went in for my surgery. I was 69 kilograms, which is my goal weight. That's it. I hit my mark. That was my goal. That's where I am. And I was like, I thought the scale was broken because I weighed at home and I was 70, 71, 70, 71. And the morning of my surgery, I went into hospital. They weighed me there and I had to do a double take. I was like, I'm at my goal weight. This is the number I've been wanting. And I'd been off Ozempic for a month and I was still at my goal weight. So I was very happy with that. And at that point, the cravings weren't too bad, but it was almost in that week and 2 weeks after the surgery that it hit me. And I promised myself I'm not going to weigh until I'm 3 months post-op because I can't gym now. I'm retaining a lot of water and inflammation because I'm healing. So, but I don't think the boobs weigh that much extra because I'm still the same size in all of my clothing. They're just better positioned.
Oh, I see. No, I was just wondering about like the actual weight of the inserts, like what the thing is.
Well, I can tell you this. We can Google it. I haven't Googled it yet, but they're 335 cc's is what they put in. So when you Google 335 cc's silicone implant, they'll be able to Google.
That's
going to
be more than half a kilo, no doubt. Because water.
I don't think so. You think so?
Okay, well, we're going to find out right now. Hold on a second. Did you say how much?
335 cc's times 2.
How much do...
Because obviously I still have 2 boobs. 335
cc boob implants weigh. Wait. Oh, terrible English. Let's see. So they've either got saline or silicone gel.
It's silicone gel.
I'm right. 670 grams. If there's silicon rather than saline, then density is higher. So it'll be 680 to 685 grams for both together.
Okay. Now bear in mind that they also cut about 15 to 20 centimeters worth of skin and fat off of my belly because I had a mini tummy tuck. And they cut off the excess skin on my breast to do a lift. So that's extra weight gone.
Averages out then.
And I did liposuction on my flanks, so on left and right flanks. So it probably evens out.
Sure. Yeah, I reckon that's probably true. Yeah, interesting. Very, very, very interesting because I've had a similar experience. And I will know that, I mean, for the listeners, you can't see Charlene. Obviously, I can. And your face has filled out a little bit since I last spoke to you. Remember the last conversation we had, and it might be makeup, but the last conversation we had, I remember telling you, like, if you go any further, people are going to accuse you of start having a Ozempic face now. Like, you look quite mean.
Ozempic face, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whereas that is decreased slightly. Like, your cheeks are filled out a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's amazing that you went a month without gaining anything. Oh, look, I mean, with surgery as well, you have to be like nil by mouth or something like that for 24 hours or something stupid as well.
So it was probably also just that water weight. Yes, I was fasted. It was obviously just that water weight that I had dropped. And when I got on the scale, I was at my goal weight.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. So let's look for parallels. So with me, I was off for 2 weeks And then I'd also fulfilled the last pen because I wanted to just have it in backup because I knew also that I was going on holiday, which is happening this Friday. And I wasn't sure whether I was going to want to take it right before I went on holiday. We had a member of our community actually who posted a little bit back and forth about going on holiday and should he continue with, I think he was on either Wegovy or Monjaro.
Yes.
And
yes.
He eventually did take a slightly reduced dose on the holiday and he lost weight on his holiday, which is like a dream for anyone who ever goes on holiday, right?
Exactly. I mean, if you could at best just stay your weight, go on holiday, be the same weight returning. You've won.
Yeah, that'd be a miracle. No, absolutely. So I was off for, I'm going to turn this slightly down. I was off for like 2 weeks or so, and I saw a definite jump back up, and I saw a definite change in my behavior to be much more of that grabby, oh, look, there's a thing, I'm going to have it. Like, got to live life, got to enjoy life, you know? Not 10 minutes after when you're having deep regrets, but just in that one second.
In that instant gratification moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So I basically, over the last, like since we last spoke, I went down as low as 82.7. I started 102 and I've ended up and I went down to 82.7, which would have been 20.3 kilos lost, right? And now I pop back up to 85. So I've basically gone up 2 kilos and now I'm back down one. So I'm at 84 now, which means at the end of this whole journey, I've done, I think it's 18. It's 18. Yeah. Which is great. Very happy with that. But was definitely, you know, quite concerned to see that pop back up. And it's to be expected. I think that we probably have to expect to get down to a goal weight. And then because of our age, because you're no longer taking your medication, you're going to pop up 2 to 4 kilos, I reckon. But I want that pop up to go from a lower set point and then back up to like
yes.
2.
So, you know, and this is the thing, you need to lose a little bit extra. So you have some in the bank. Yes.
Yeah. Unrealistically lean is where I have to be so that when I stop, I can go up to like normal, right?
Yeah, it's just madness.
Yeah. So I made the executive decision after that to start using that last pen. So I did a 0.25 last week and I'm going to do a 0.5 before I go on holiday. And then as you say, I think that there's also a lot of power in the placebo. So I'm just going to eke it out and try and just like refocus myself because I know what I need to eat. And I've just been, the problem is with summer coming, there's going to be a lot of brides, there's going to be a lot of social stuff. Christmas is going to be coming up right after that. And it's going to be a real challenge. And I think I have to kind of get comfortable with the idea of like, if I get down to, let's say 82, I have to get down happy with the idea that like 85 is probably where I'm going to end up once I stop taking completely. Right. But it also, but it just seems and I think maybe we'll have a follow-on conversation like a couple months from now and let's see how it's going. Because I do feel like, dear listeners, that we are betraying you slightly in that this is an important part of the journey that we're not going to, we have covered partially because both of us have been off and then back on again. And I was fine the first time. But it's just literally a case of no capacity with projects going on. We can't cover this. But yeah, it'll be interesting. We have to also, but that said, with summer coming, there will be far more opportunity to go outside to exercise. I'm going to get back into surfing and all that stuff. So hopefully it'll all balance out.
That's the thing. Hopefully it kind of evens out. It's hard to say now, and we've got followers and listeners in the WhatsApp group saying, are we doing another episode? We want to hear what's happening. I'm getting DMs on social media like, how's it going with you and Jono? And the thing is, it's hard to say because we're kind of, I'm sad that I can't give this like silver bullet. We tried it, we tested it. This is the formula. This is how it works. Right. And this is how you keep the weight off. And because I think, I think maybe I was delusional and I don't know what I expected at the end of this, but the reality is I thought that my habits would be strong enough to carry me. But it's just an illustration again of, or an example again of how life happens. Because yes, I have the habits, but now I've made this choice to have the surgery and I'm unable to work out in the gym. So I don't have an exact, I suppose you had a better opportunity at doing that because you went off and you still maintained the gymming and you were still
even
consistent
that,
in the working out.
For 2 weeks and I like skipped basically 2 weeks of gym. So
you see,
you know, he did everything he could. He sent like workouts to us on WhatsApp and shared Instagram stuff. And I was like, nah, none of that. I'm taking a week off if you're taking two
weeks. You see, but this is the thing. If you're not there accountable, like I have to show up because so-and-so is going to be standing there waiting for me. The discipline's super hard. And I think if it was easy, and there are people who are overweight to such a degree that they're unable to be physically active. Just because they're unhealthy, they've got issues with their knees or back problems or whatever. So this is not an exact science for everyone. And there is a lot of this stuff on social media like, yeah, okay, fine. So you lose the weight and then you stop using it. What happens then? And that was my biggest fear. And I am here now and I have to find a way. I have to just – and what that way is, I don't know yet. But I think – a check-in in a couple of months from now, just before the year ends, maybe for our listeners to just say, so this is what I've been up to and this is how I've kind of worked to try and stay on track, because we're just human and there is no silver bullet. And the reality is sometimes you're more consistent than other times. And sometimes you're able to be more disciplined with what you're eating and other times you just are not because life's hectic. You didn't meal prep, you didn't do this, or you've just been so stressed. I think it's the journey is not linear. And also there is no end point. There is no finish line because you're kind of constantly just evolving. That's the only finish line, yes. And until such time, I don't plan on reaching that finish line very soon. So until such time, we're just, that's upbeat.
Kind of struggling along. Yeah, as you say. Yeah, this is, you know, we're not going to sugarcoat it. But I think also there's definitely an element of, there's so many factors that you can't kind of calculate, you know, logically, right? For example, we've been losing weight for 6 months. When the body is then given a break, like there will probably be a bounce back of some kind, or, you know, like when there's that change of mind, even when you go like, wow, we finished the project. Awesome. I lost 18 kilos. That's fantastic. I'm so happy with myself. And, you know, depending on the kind of person you are, that might be like, let me celebrate with a slice of cake.
This is the problem. You feel like I deserve it. You kind of reward yourself with, I've been so good. I reward myself. And I think that this is this is a habit or a challenge that thin people, genetically thin people, just don't ever suffer from. Because you don't feel food is something that is rewarding to you. Food is only a practical thing. It's only there from a practical perspective. It is not, it's not something that's supposed to bring you joy or
animal.
Yes, exactly.
Bacon is my emotional support animal. So
that I found quite interesting is, having been off of the medication, there are still certain foods that I don't really find appetizing. I just, fatty foods, pizza with lots of cheese, I can't eat it.
Yeah.
I can't eat it. My stomach hurts incredibly. All sorts of anything that's fatty, if it's deep fried, or I can't. I don't feel nauseous like I would when I was on the medication, but I do. I look at it and I'm like, oh, yeah, no thanks. I that does not look nice, you know?
Right.
So that's quite interesting. That's been my experience.
Yeah. The resistance, the avoidance of alcohol has tapered off as Ozempic tapered off. I found I was more or less for a glass of red wine. But yeah, pizza, weirdly, I think it's because it's clearly such a crime that I've almost got a traumatic level response to pizza, where it hasn't really been presented to me, because you have to order pizza, you have to go and get it. And if you're in a restaurant, it's there, but there are other options that are also fine. So I haven't had to struggle. I think I would eat a pizza if it wouldn't, you know, make me feel really terrible emotionally. but I did have the very interesting experience when I had the 0.25 last week. The next day on Saturday, I went to a wine farm, and I was going to have the smallest tasting because my friends were doing a tasting. And I had one sip of Sauvignon Blanc and felt nauseous. And someone was chatting about this on the WhatsApp group like just a couple of days ago about nausea and alcohol. And I haven't had any kind of nausea issues basically. But when I had that sip of wine and I felt nauseous, I just pushed it to my friend and said, "Here, you have this whole thing. I don't want it. So that was good. That was like a little shock collar on my neck going like, no alcohol. Exactly. Yeah. So, okay. So let's wrap up this section then. It's going to be an ongoing struggle. I think we kind of, life comes at you fast, but we need to remember the structures that we built during being on Ozempic and try and continue those, right? So when you get back in the gym, that'll be awesome. Especially because there are things, it's called habit stacking from the Atomic Habits, where, you know, it's a healthy thing where you go to gym and then linked to that is you have a protein shake straight after gym and you have a bunch of water around gym, right? So that habit creates a whole bunch of great habits around it.
Yes.
So, I mean, I know what I need to eat. I need to have like eggs or a protein shake in the morning, a piece of fruit in the mid-morning and another coffee. Lunch restrained, afternoon like biltong or fruit, dinner, stop, you know, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I think that one of the things that we, and it might be regarding that bounce back after being like in a calorie deficit for so long, one of the things is that you say there's a maintenance calorie level and everyone says that, but for me it's either I'm losing or I'm gaining. There's no holding steady, right?
In between. Yes, which is weird. Yes.
I probably ate an extra 500 calories. Well, you gained 2 kilos. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I don't know. And also, I have to be honest with you, the headache of constant calorie tracking, just no, it's not a life. It's not a way to live. I cannot to have this app and constantly. So when I first went off of the medicine, I was like, okay, I just got to track for the first few weeks just so that I know more or less what calories which foods have so that I can make informed decisions going forward. And so I would roughly track and I'd be like, okay, so cottage cheese with sourdough toast and an egg, that's roughly so many calories, then my protein shake, then my this, just so I have a rough idea of where I am. And that worked. But then you have the odd day, not every day looks the same, and you have the odd day where you have a birthday and then you're kind of not eating the usual food. So you're looking at the spread of food and you're like, okay, what calories are in that? What calories are in that? And I'm just starting a whole new bloody obsession. And it's fucking exhausting. It's exhausting. And I'm so tired of it. I'm tired of why can't I just be somebody who doesn't have to constantly be exhausted by the thought of what I'm putting in my mouth. And I was so spoiled with the medication because even if I do eat something that's not on plan, I cannot physically consume enough of it to make a big enough impact for it to be a problem. Whereas without the medication, that's not there because I don't feel when I'm full. I'll just be like, I ate, and I distinctly remember we would have burgers and I'd be like, okay, burgers aren't exactly the best idea, but I'd have an ostrich patty with lots of nice veg on it. And I'll only have half the burger and maybe I'll have 3 air fried chips. Okay. Right. And then I'm full and I'm comfortable. And I could consistently have that on burger night as a spoil. But the other day we had burgers. I polished an entire burger and the bun and then still like a whole portion of air fried chips. And okay, cool. They were still air fried, but that's too much food. And I felt uncomfortably full afterwards, but why did I not just stop after the half the burger? I know that's enough for my stomach, but fuck knows why, because I've got some psychological issue.
Well, I mean, that brings up the looking into the future, you know, it's either, I think it requires a longer period off to and a way in. You know, I think wait for your 3 months post surgery, wait for summer. Like you need to give yourself a proper break. Try and maintain, and it might be that, you know, I'm reacting quite emotionally to, I'm going literally away to a beach destination in a week, so I don't want to. If I can drop 2 kilos before I go, that'd be awesome, because it really, there's a big difference between 84 and 82 for me. How I feel. So when that last pen runs out and I have to go into life naked, I'm going to have to either get it under control.
No safety net.
Either get it under control or, you know, I don't know. I don't honestly think it's going to get to a point where I'm going to gain back anywhere near what I was on, like 102. That's never going to happen again. But, you know, you might, given the noise, which is a bigger problem, I feel, you might then look at like a long-term solution. But I don't know if your doctor's going to be cool on a long-term Ozempic solution. What do you think?
Honestly, in my heart of hearts, I don't think I'm a candidate for a long-term use of the medication because I don't have conditions, underlying conditions like insulin issues and polycystic ovary syndrome. And I would feel sheepish to even have that conversation with my doctor to go and sit there and be like, hey, doc, I need help with this. So because I'm not a candidate for a long-term use of the medication. And I mean, I haven't looked into it enough to see what research is available in terms of long-term negative side effects potentially of the drug being on it long-term. But honestly, I know in my heart of hearts, and I wouldn't be comfortable with it being on it long-term because it is not for the right reasons. I need to figure out this problem. Whatever this problem is, and maybe I must go for hypnosis or something, you know, to like kind of rewire my brain.
Well, our friend, our mutual friend, Hendrik Baird, is a hypnotherapist. You can chat to him.
Yeah, so I don't know what the solution is yet, but I know that I don't feel like, it's not even a money thing. I mean, if I have to spend the money on the medication long-term, I would even do that because it helps me so much just from a mood perspective because I'm not so bloody grumpy, constantly having an internal fight with myself about food.
Right.
And I feel embarrassed to say it because it's not like I can blame the hormones for the cravings or the something. It's purely just I'm just undisciplined and I have a connection or a dependency on comfort eating. Like, and I know now, I can see it so clearly because I've had surgery, I'm healing. So also I'm quite bored because for the first 2 or 3 weeks, I couldn't be very active. I couldn't drive. I couldn't go out and do my normal things and be busy. So I'm stuck at home doing like admin work and kind of resting when I take my pain medication or when I did take pain medication, I would sleep. But the minute I wake up, I would feel to eat something. You know, and I needed to eat quite regularly because I needed to take my pain medication quite regularly, which is also fine. And I had nutritious meals when I ate, not like junk food, you know. But once I stopped taking the pain medication, I was just in the habit of I want to eat. And then it's fine to eat, but what you're eating and how much of it you're eating is the issue. So I think I need to be patient with myself as well. I've only been off of it for going on 6 weeks, I think, almost 7 weeks off of Ozempic. And I think I'm going to use that last pen and I'm going to go on the minimum dose and I'm going to try and just focus on the habits. That gives me another 4 weeks to be able to get back into the gym. And once I'm working out again and I'm in my normal routine, because I know I'm more disciplined on the days that I work out. Like you said, it's the habit stacking. So I guess I'm also just so terrified of I've gotten to this place and I've tasted the sweet joy of being in the body that I want to be. And I just don't want to lose grip of it again. I am absolutely terrified of when 4 years ago lost 20 kilograms, I promised myself I would never get back there again. And 15 of those kilograms I put back on. After promising myself I would never get back there again, I was very rapidly getting there again. Yes, hormones were an issue, but now my hormones are fine and I need to just get to the root of the problem. It's my only solution.
Sure. Yeah. Well, look, I mean, as you say, I don't think be too hard on yourself. Like, there is definitely an element of your body healing itself and needing nutrition for that. And there's also a large thing of being sedentary just makes you like you're bored. So what are you going to do? You know, put something in your face. That's, you know, action is a great way to not be hungry because you're off doing stuff. So yeah, I think that once you're more mobile and, you know, back in the gym, it'll be a lot easier. And So I think we were originally going to have a conversation about, you know, what have you learned and all that stuff. And I think what we've learned is actually in the previous episodes, I think to sum it up, if I had to meet, let's do one thing. Let's just talk about what you would tell someone who had asked you, should I go on the Ozempic? What would you say to them?
I would say yes. Yes, yes. It changed my life. It completely and utterly eliminated problems that I was struggling with absolutely every day. And because the food noise is such a big thing for me, it just makes it so much easier. It just cuts through the noise and the bullshit. And when it comes to food intake, you can separate the, you know, you see the wood from the trees and you can just be like, I can make a nutritious choice because there is no little man on my shoulder going, ooh, have this. That looks like it. That looks delicious. That you're eating for sustenance.
Little Italian guy saying, eat the pizza. Love it.
Exactly. You're eating purely for sustenance. You're eating purely for, I need to feed my
good
body.
Nutrition and health. And yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're feeding your body the right things because it's your mind and your existence, for me certainly, it was not clouded by the cravings. That was the one thing. The other thing is that it's like a autopilot portion control. You don't even have to try to watch your portions because you cannot physically consume more than a certain amount. So it is a life-changing medicine. It's the aftermath that I would caution someone against. Like, work with a dietitian. Work with a dietitian. Make sure while you're on it, you have good, solid habits and your brain is wired to those habits. So by default, so that when you have a bad couple of weeks and you're out of routine, you are in autopilot in terms of what goes into your mouth because you know it so well and you know what the pitfalls are. Without those things, you will 100% put all the weight back on the minute you stop the medicine. That's what I would say to someone who is contemplating going on it.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I would add to that, I would very much recommend it as well. And given what we've been talking about, though, I think that, and why I would say that, because we're both experiencing kind of like an uptick after going off it, I would say that, as you say, the habits are very important. Control the meals once you stop them, because, control the meals that are easy to control. Like, no one's pressuring you to have a massive breakfast. No one's pressuring you not to drink a protein shake. You know, it's on the weekends. It's in those little social moments that there's suddenly external pressure and stuff, food that you consider an experience, you know. But, like, a block of Top Deck is not an experience. You've had 1,000 of them, a billion of them probably. So, you know, if you're going to go to a wine tasting and try different wines or have a pairing or something, then cool. I think it's worth kind of letting it go a little bit there. But control all the things that you can control. And I do certainly feel that I'm in a far better position to succeed at staying where I want to be now than I was at 102. This has been, essentially, think of it as like a jump start to the process. And now that I've lost 18 kilos, I feel like, first of all, what it says on the weight on the scale is far more actionable, far more easy to interpret, because 2 kilos up over 2 weeks goes like, oh, I can actually see where I've fallen down a little bit. And, you know, I finished Ben's dinner there and I had a couple of drinks there and we went to a bar and I did that. Like, when you are so overweight, it's hard to pin down like what it is that you did wrong. Everything you did is wrong, right? Now, because we've been doing so much right, it's easy to see where you go wrong. So I do think that there will probably be a pop-up. What I hope is to get down to about 80 and then pop back up to about 82. That's kind of like my final goal. And I think I am in a better position to do it now, despite having like fallen off the wagon a little bit here. So yeah, I think it's going to be a constant, as you say, there's no finish line. It's going to be a constant realignment and it's never ending. But in your case, you know, calorie counting, you know, the basics. Don't do it every day anymore. You know, like, you do have to try and, as you say, the problem is the mental load. When that becomes so high that you're getting grumpy and miserable, then that's dangerous, I guess.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, overall, I think this has been a wonderful experience. I've really enjoyed making the podcast with you. We've got about something like 115 members. Let me have a look here. Diaries. the community. We have 120 community members on WhatsApp. And definitely want to say thank you to everyone who's joined that and has been engaging there. The community's not going away. It's still going to be there. As we said, we will do a catch up in a couple months from now and see where we are and see what hopefully we can share that might help other people. But in terms of podcasting, Charlene has got her great big hairy project of The Great Equalizer that she's moving on to. It has never left. And then I don't know yet. I've got a lot of work projects because I produce podcasts. I've got a lot of work projects coming up, and I'll maybe share those in the community for those who want to follow. But no personal project for now until probably the new year, because I tend to do one every year. We'll see. I'm not transitioning into the testosterone steroid growth hormone podcast. I think it's a bit too soon.
Just yet. Yeah. Hey, never say never.
I for a moment there, I was going, I'm going to do a martial arts podcast, because I got introduced to jiu-jitsu and I was like loving it. And I thought that this is great. I should do a martial arts podcast because I've always loved that. And then in lesson two of jiu-jitsu, I got dropped on my head and hurt my neck. And then in practice session three, I sprained my knee. So my knee is sprained now. And then I was like, you know what? Surfing is coming and I'm done. I can't do jiu-jitsu. I'm too old. I'm too old and too weak. So, yeah.
No, this is the thing. Our bodies can't do the things they could do a number of years ago. And maybe if we had looked after our bodies better in our 20s, we would still be able to do those things now. But alas.
Yeah. Alas. I'll just go for falling into soft water instead of onto hard mats.
Exactly. Hard, yeah. Or getting connected by a fist or an elbow or something.
Yeah. But Charlene, it's been such a pleasure. It's been like...
Thanks, John.
It was such a random thing that you volunteered to be a co-host, but it's been such a great experience.
No, it has been. And I also just want to give a shout out to our community on the WhatsApp groups. They're such a nice bunch of people, very engaging. I love reading people's stories. I don't always get the time to respond, but when I do move my way through the feed and I have something to add, I do try and add just comments from my personal experience or just some encouraging messaging to anyone who's struggling or starting out. Or it's really been a nice journey to have people to talk about it, you know, because something that has happened to me a lot with the weight coming off, a lot of people ask me, oh, what have you done? What have you done? And people are even as bold as, oh, what are you doing? Injecting? Are you injecting? Are you also on that jab? And I still feel sheepish to admit it, but I just do. I'm like, yeah, my doc put me on Ozempic and it helped. It worked. And I still feel embarrassed to say it or admit it. And I actually, in this WhatsApp community, it's nice to be able to just talk openly without the shame and the stigma, because everyone is on a different journey and there is no room for judgment. So I'm very grateful to the community. And so, yeah, I'm happy that we're keeping that going. And we'll check in with you when we have something interesting to share with you as far as our journeys are concerned. But there is not much... I mean, we can tune in, we can find the time to continue to make this podcast, but it will be more of the same. Like, oh, Jono, I had a shit day. I ate 7 slabs of chocolate and I didn't go to the gym. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll update progress when there's progress to be updated. But otherwise, we do worry as well that, you know, it's just, we're not going to become those people who are just turning the content mill and, hey, here's what's in the news about Ozempic and wasting your time, essentially.
Yeah, if we can't offer you something interesting or super groundbreaking or worthy, stuff that you haven't heard from us before, then drop us a WhatsApp message. We'll tell you how it's going with us if you're curious.
Yeah. And based on this season as well, by the way, 6 months is the time frame that I would look at if you were going to take Ozempic. It's not a 3-month super duper fast thing, because there's ramp on time, there's ramp off time, there's plateaus. Everyone we know has had some kind of a month where they just don't lose anything and they're just watching the money go down the drain.
Drain out of their bank account. Yes. Yeah,
completely. But, you know, when you average it all out, when you look at the 6-month journey, you know, for me, it's this point, it's 18 kilos. And I think it's for you, it's 16 or 17 as well. And my mother is now on it, who was pre-diabetic and has lost 13 kilograms. And it's incredible for her because she's got a lot of pain. She needs a knee surgery, but taking that weight off has alleviated some of that pain and helped her be more mobile. And I've got another friend who came to visit from Thailand, and he's in his 50s. He's actually like, he's also, I think, just gone into to WeGovi as well. And, you know, we just try to give that same advice of you can't just do Ozempic or whatever it is. You've got to get to the gym, have the protein, drink the water, get the sleep. It's a change the habits. I think that, if anything, is the takeaway. It's not a magic pill. It's a magic super booster for everything else
you do. It's a phenomenal tool in your toolkit, but it is not the only thing you can rely on, especially for women. And women my age who's like premenopausal, like everything you read or listen to or see, it would genuinely be to your own detriment if you do not make use of this tool with cautious and responsible decisions around what food you're taking in and how you move your body and what you do to sustain strength and health in the long term.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's enough of us repeating ourselves. We thank you again for listening, and we will be back in the future with a catch up. We hope you look forward to it, and we'll post it in the community, and we'll be in touch in the community. If you need either of us, you can find us in that group, or you can WhatsApp us. If you're part of the community, you'll have our number. And don't forget to go and listen to The Great Equalizer, which is Charlene's main show, as well as TGE's Greatest Reads.
Current Reads. Yeah, it's our book podcast for bookworms. We do all sorts of nonfiction, parenting related, romance. We cover information on all sorts of books that we're currently reading and that we enjoy.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, John. Enjoy your holiday.
I'm gonna.
Bye. Bye.